take your Bible, if you would please, this morning, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15. Always seem to find it a little bit difficult on these special days that we celebrate and honor, and sometimes I find it a little bit difficult to get in my heart settled on what the Lord would have us to bring. We always have, most of the time, a good number on these special days, and certainly we're thankful that you're able to be in the house of God today, that you chose to come certainly this way. And as I prayed and asked the Lord to help me today, certainly with this day as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, certainly what he would put on my heart to bring this morning. And this is the text. It's very simple. What I will bring this morning is nothing new. Very, very simple. But my prayer would be today that each of us, in the stillness of this service here now this morning, that God would help each of us to search our hearts. Now, the choir sang wonderful songs about the resurrection and about being saved to the uttermost. And today, my question to you, or more importantly, not my question, but the Holy Spirit of God's question to you, are you saved to the uttermost? And see, we celebrate these special days, and certainly we're thankful that we can. But at the end of the day, today, how do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's a question that only you can answer. I can't answer that question for you, and you can't answer that question for me. A lot of people say they're saved, but yet they never live like it. Now, there's something wrong with that. I'm not here this morning to beat you up. I'm here this morning so that maybe the Holy Spirit of God would capture your attention today. And if you're not saved, if you're not living right, if you're not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ with your life today, that before you leave here today, that you'd make things right with Him. But it's a personal thing. You can't say that you're saved and live in sin. You can't do that. Scripturally, it's not right. God won't let you do that. You can't live in sin and disobedience and expect the blessings of God and expect God to bless you and use you in your life, nor be right with God. You and I can't do that. That's me included. So I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm not going to try to take a lot of time today, but I got some things I want to share with you that's very important from this text as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And here, what's contained within this text this morning is the very simple gospel message. The very simple gospel message that you personally and I personally either receive or reject. And what you and I do with the Lord Jesus today determines our relationship with Him and also determines where you're going to spend eternity. And so today, I pray that God will let us be still. I ask you not to be up and moving around. I ask you when the invitation is given this morning, not to do anything to disturb that. Amen. And there may be people here today that needs to get right with God. And I want you to know today, certainly I want you to get right with God, but more importantly, He wants you to get right. And so I want you to search your hearts and allow God to search your hearts today. That being said, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading, the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, if you're not, that's okay. All that this morning is just a introduction to what we want to try to look at here for a few moments this morning. And the thought is simply this from this text. Why do we, or should we, celebrate Easter? Why do we, or why should we, celebrate Easter? Look at verse number 1, Paul writing here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also, notice in verse number 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Vain means empty, useless. And think about that as he's writing here to the church at Corinth. Verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Here it goes. The reason why we should celebrate Easter. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, that's important, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I love verse number 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. For the sake of time, jump over to verse 19, and I want you to go back today sometime and read verses 12 through 19, because it talks about the importance of the resurrection of Christ. But then notice in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we're now in your presence today, Lord, on this very special day, Lord, as we've come, Lord, this day to celebrate your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And Lord, I realize every Sunday that we gather, Lord, that we celebrate your resurrection. But Lord, on this special day, on this Easter day, Lord, we come with great emphasis, Lord, on what you've done for us at the cross of Calvary. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to praise you for that. We want to thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. Lord, we want to thank you for the wonderful singing and, Lord, the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I thank you now for your precious Word. And I pray now, God, as your servant, I pray, Lord, as I stand in this place, God, I pray you'd anoint me afresh and anew. God, I pray this morning you'd anoint my mind and my mouth. Lord, I pray I'd say those things that need to be said. And then, Lord, I pray that ears and hearts would be open and receptive under the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful crowd and, Lord, these wonderful families today. But, Lord, my heart's heavy today thinking that there could be some here, Lord, that's not prepared to meet you. Now, Lord, I don't know that. Lord, the only heart I know is mine. But, Lord, no doubt of a crowd of this size, Lord, there's no doubt folks here this morning that God's never truly been born again. I pray that, God, you take over charge of this service. I pray you'd bind every hindrance. God, I pray this morning the Holy Ghost of God would have free rule and free reign. Lord, I pray that each of us would search our hearts. And, oh, God, today, if there be any wicked way, Lord, within us, Lord, if there be anything, Lord, that would hinder, Lord, if there be anything today, Lord, that you're not pleased with, God, I pray you'd reveal it to us. And, God, I pray that, Father, this very day, Lord, in each of us, we'll get our hearts and our lives right with thee. And, Lord, I pray again, Father, you move in the midst. Lord, help us to be obedient. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for the cross today. Lord, you work. Lord, you move. And I pray that each of us will be obedient and submissive to your word and to your will. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, I want us to consider the thought, why do we or should we celebrate Easter? Today, in today's culture in which you and I live, we put a great significance on the holiday of Christmas. Would you agree with me? We put a lot of emphasis on the holiday of Christmas, which should be to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing wrong with that. We celebrate that. We also find not as much emphasis is put on the holiday of Easter, which to the Christian should be the most celebrated occasion in our hearts for those for that which Christ has done for each and every one of us that have believed and trusted in Him. We put a lot of emphasis on the Christmas season, but it seemed like not too many people put a lot of emphasis on Easter. And certainly you couldn't have one without the other. And we understand that if He had not been born, then certainly He could not have went to the cross and died and gave you His life, that we could know Him today in a free pardon of sin. And so we ought to be very thankful for both of them. But today, why do we celebrate? Or why should we celebrate? Well, today there's just a couple of things that I want to share with you from these verses of Scripture today that I pray will help each of us to search our hearts today. And certainly that we would celebrate accordingly. Amen. We've already celebrated the resurrection in part this morning as we come very early and gathered over here. And I read some Scripture and sung some songs and just worshiped our Lord and our Savior. And thankful that we could do that today. But friend, again, the most important thing pressing in this hour is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you celebrate certainly today? What are you looking to today in the service this morning? And who are you looking to? I find three reasons today or facts to remember for celebrating the Easter season or the resurrection celebration, if you will. Number one, I want you to look at them. I'm going to try to get through this quickly this morning. First of all, the reason that we should celebrate is we find it right here in this text this morning. The first reason that you and I should celebrate is, first of all, Christ died for our sins. I said it's going to be simple. Very, very simple. Very, very elementary. But the problem with that today, my friend, is there's so many people that's not come to the realization in their own heart and in their own life that they've sinned against the Holy God. I tell you what, we try to cover it up. We try to play with sin. We try to play in sin. We try to play with sin. But at the end of the day, friend, sin is the thing that separates you and I from a thrice holy God. You cannot live and do like you want to do and claim Christ as your Savior and live in sin and expect God to bless you and expect God to reserve a place for you in a wonderful place called heaven. But friend, I'm glad today that somebody died and took my place. I don't know about you, but it excites me this morning to know that I have sinned against God. Not that I'm excited about that, but I'm excited because somebody was willing to pay a debt that I could not pay. Thank God this morning, church. I want you to realize, hallelujah, the reason that we come together not only on Easter or Resurrection morning, but the reason that we gather every Sunday is because Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You don't have to carry those sins. You don't have to pay the penalty for those sins. Thank God somebody has already paid the price. And His name is Jesus today, my friend. You can't be saved without Him. Do you realize that today? I'm afraid some people feel like that they can be saved and redeemed without Him. Friend, it's impossible. It's impossible to be saved apart from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that He shed upon Calvary. It's impossible. So today, the first reason you and I ought to celebrate and rejoice. Y'all hearing me? And rejoice is because Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins, not for His, because He didn't have any. We have the guiltless dying for the guilty. There's never been another death like the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He'd done nothing wrong. Not one time did He disobey His Father. Not one time did He sin against His Father. Not one wrong that He'd ever committed. But He took my place. and he took your place. The reason we ought to celebrate today, the reason we ought to worship today, the reason we ought to rejoice today is because Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that's important as well. Because what Jesus done in going to the cross, he was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies that had already been given about him giving his life. That God paying a ransom for somebody like me and for somebody like you. I want to give you some things about Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures. Number one, Christ died voluntarily. Nobody didn't make him do it. See, there's something today, there's a great difference in this morning in making somebody do something and volunteering to do something. Now, nobody made Christ do it. Even before the Bible teaches us, even before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost got together, had made a plan for the redemption of mankind. Hey, friend, I know they sang that song, they searched all over heaven. But friend, they didn't have to search nowhere. Thank God there had already been a plan made. And Jesus had already volunteered, thank God, to come to a low land of sin and sorrow and give his life on Calvary and die and bleed and suffer for our sins this morning, church. He died voluntarily. I love Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love for us. But God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. First reason we want to celebrate today and rejoice today and remember today is because Christ died for our sins. Can I say not only did he die voluntarily, but he died willingly. He died willingly. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what Christ done for each and every one of us here today. And friend, if you reject that, if you reject God's payment and price for your sin, if you say no to that, if you reject that, there is no salvation for you. He done it voluntarily. He done it willingly. Not only did I think about John 10:11, thought about John 10:18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. They did not take Jesus' life. He laid down. Now you think about it. He voluntarily and willingly laid down his life. Now you can go through all the aspects of that crucifixion. From the trial to the crowning of the thorns to the scourging, to the carrying of the cross, to being nailed to the cross, to being chained and spit upon, having the very beard plucked from his face, having all that, all the aspects of the crucifixion. He done all of that voluntarily and willingly that you and I could be redeemed and saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah this morning, church. We ought to thank him and we ought to praise him. And friend, if you don't know him, you ought to run to Calvary and you ought to do it today and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Why? Because he will. Because he died willingly. He died voluntarily. They didn't take his life. He laid down his life. And I think Brother Scotty said in the Sunday school, there's not one prisoner. There's not one murderer. There's not one adulterer. There's not one dope addict. There's not one drunkard that I'd want to give my life for. I'm just honest with you. There's not a one that I'd want to give my life for. But Jesus gave his life for them all. Hallelujah. For each and every one of us here today. Why should we celebrate? Why do we celebrate? Because first of all, Christ died for our sins. He died willingly. He died voluntarily. And I said, didn't have but three things. Got a few subpoints. He died willingly. He died voluntarily. He died obediently. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even as he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not thy will be done, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he died voluntarily. Think about that. Voluntarily, he said, I will take Brady's place. Voluntarily, he said, I'll take Archie's place. Amen. Voluntarily, he said, I'll take Miss Wanda's place. Voluntarily and willingly, he said, I'll take Miss Wilma's place. Voluntarily and willingly, Miss Joe, Jesus said, I'll take your place. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I don't know about you. That does something for me this morning, knowing, hey, nobody else has ever given me an offer like that, that he would voluntarily take my place and pay my debt. And willingly and obediently, Jesus died for our sins. Obediently, he died for our sins sacrificially. Notice back in the text, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. He died sacrificially. Sacrificially. In other words, God required a blood sacrifice. Now, you can go all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you can find that God requires a blood sacrifice. You can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and see that God required a blood sacrifice. All those Old Testament, read the book of Hebrews, it talks about all those goats and calves and all that blood that was shed. But yet he couldn't get the job done. But then also in the book of Hebrews, it says, once and for all. Once and for all. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary to pay the sin of mankind. Hallelujah. He done it as the sacrificial Lamb of God. Thank God I'm glad he was willing to take my place this morning. And then we sit around and think, well, there's nothing. Why should I rejoice? Why should I get happy? Why should I raise a hand? Why should I say amen? Why should I sing in the choir? Why should I teach a Sunday school class? Why should I preach the Word of God? Why should I be faithful to the house of God? Why should I be faithful to my spouse? Why should I be faithful to my children? I'm telling you why. Because there's a Savior that died for us and took our place. Hallelujah. Sound like a pretty good reason to me. He died willingly. He died sacrificially. He died obediently. He died voluntarily. Christ died for our sin. Revelation 1:5, the B part of Revelation 1:5, I don't have time to read it all today. But the Bible says there in the book of the Revelation, unto him that loved us. Y'all, you just ain't getting it, are you? Unto him that loved us and washed us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Peter put it like this, not being redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Then he goes on and talks some more things there. But then he gets on down there and he says, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, precious blood. Pure blood. Purifying blood. Well, I'll tell you what, preacher. I don't like this old bloody religion you're preaching. Thank God for the blood. The book of Hebrews also says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Therefore, he became my sacrificial lamb. Now, he's not going to be the sacrificial lamb no more. He already took care of that. He's that lion of the tribe of Judah. Hey, man. And you either stand before him as saved or you stand before him in judgment. But he is that Lamb of God that taketh away. John looked over Jordan's river and said, behold, the Lamb of God. John says, looky here, looky here, looky here. Oh, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. Now, he's still the sacrificial lamb to this point today that he'll save you and redeem you. But friend, he's not coming back the next time to die for you. He's already done that. Boy, we ought to celebrate. It's not about Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and jelly beans. Whoop! I'm here to echo, hello, 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 hello. Well, preacher, you're preaching against those things. I didn't say I was preaching against them. I didn't say I was preaching for them either. I'll be honest with you, we have adopted so many pagan things into our culture. I didn't know I was going to say that, but I'm going to say it anyhow. If it's the hard lips of the devil, I'll say it anyhow. We've invited so many pagan things into our, even our churches. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a good time with your kids and all that. I'm not saying that. I like jelly beans as good as anybody does. And Reese's eggs, man, them things are really good. Bring them on.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, we've invited all this pagan stuff in. And the pagan stuff today is more on our hearts and our minds than what it's really all about. I'm trying to help us today. Christ died for our sins. Secondly, the reason we should celebrate, not only did Christ die for our sin, but then notice the Bible says here in verse number four, and that he was buried. Now, let me say this. There's nothing unusual about death. Going back to the book of Genesis, and death had to take place because of sin. There's nothing unusual about death. Matter of fact, we're running headlong, every one of us, into this thing called death. It's not sneaking up behind us. We're running headlong into it. And some may be sooner than others. We don't know. Death's nothing unusual. Being buried is nothing unusual. We do it every day, don't we, Brother Randy? Every day. Somebody is carried to a cemetery somewhere. And the body is deposited into the ground. But see, there's something a little different about this particular death and burial. Amen. Amen. There's something a little particular and peculiar about this death and burial. There's never been one like this. Hallelujah. Thank God to the Lamb of God. I'm glad the life's getting me to be defeated as death. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the day, Miss Debbie, when I don't have to go to the cemetery anymore. I'm glad when I don't have to go and look into the face of a family that's brokenhearted because a loved one has had to stay so long to take a loved one to the graveyard and have to deposit that body in the ground. I'm looking forward to the day, hallelujah, well, that will be no more, thank God. Here Jesus, here Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he lets them know that now if you've believed right, if you've believed right, you'll live right. And it'll make a difference in your life. He was buried. John 10:18. I have power. Jesus said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Speaking of what? His body. Hey, ain't nobody else can do that. Unfortunately, over the last 10 years, I've had to stand outside of the casket of them, anyone. I've not seen one of them get up yet, Brother Randy. If it did, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd be a little bit weary. I'm a little fat, but I believe I could run pretty good. I mean, bless God, they get to knocking on that lid and coming out of there, there's going to be something going on. Rapture takes place, by the way. You better be, if you're out in the cemetery, you better get out of the way. You get run over. Amen. Why? Because the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Why? Because they got 6 foot farther to go than we do. But we celebrate today. We worship today because Christ died for our sins. We worship and celebrate today because he was buried. You know what that proves? That proves that he died. See, even after Jesus, read your Bible, even after Jesus died and rose again, they tried to pay a bunch off to go out and tell them that somebody come and robbed the body of Jesus. I could see old Pilate back at Pilate's Hall wringing them hands because Jesus already told him, hey, thank God he'd rise again. He put them guards out there to guard that tomb. Boy, I'll tell you what, those guards couldn't keep him in. The stone couldn't keep him in. Hallelujah, thank God. Why? Because he is God this morning. And he defeated death, hell, and the grave, thank God. And we sat around like a wooden Indian. Hallelujah. Preacher, you ought not to get excited. I can't help but to get excited thinking about what Jesus done for me. That he died for our sins. And that he was buried. It confirms his death. I want you to notice three things about when he was buried. Number one, I'm just going to give you these because you can go back and study them later. You find that he was buried, and again, it confirms his death. And that's crucial. We find in his burial, we find the preparation of his body. Joseph of Arimathea comes to Pilate and begs the body of the Lord Jesus as they take him off the cross. And so they take him and they wrap him in those linen clothes for the preparation of burial. I'm just glad he didn't need them but for 3 days and nights. Hey, and there's a whole message in the folded napkin, by the way. You know what that folded napkin represents? I'll be back. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach 2 or 3 messages in one. Notice he was buried. We find the preparation of his body. Secondly, we find the placement of his body. Preacher, is that crucial? Yes, it is. Because it confirms his death and it gives us a place where he was buried. Now, there was a new tomb there where no man had ever laid. That's crucial. It was a borrowed tomb because he just going to need a couple of days. Just to be right honest with you, all they done was put his body in there. He was already working in other places. He's got some keys, by the way. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil don't even have the keys to his own house. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I see the preparation of his body. I see the placement of his body. He was put in the tomb. And they rolled the stone in front of the tomb. I see the placement. I see the preparation. I see the placement. And I've already given you this, but thirdly, I see the protection of the body. Old Pilate just played into God's hand. God played him like one of these dolls that you move the strings up and down on. He put them guards out there. Pilate thought, buddy, I'm doing something now. God said, I got this. That's so everybody know that body's in there. So we find the preparation, we find the placement of the body. We see the protection of the body. One of the things that the funeral home is required to do, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Randy, if I am, you correct me. One of the things that a funeral home is required to do is they watch that body and they protect that body till that body is put in the ground. Is that right? You have to watch that body, not that it's going to take off, but to make sure that body is placed in the ground or to its burial place. So we celebrate because Christ died for our sins. We celebrate because Christ was buried. But thirdly, that's not the end of the story. As old Paul Harvey would say, page 2. Some of these young people, who's Paul Harvey? You ought to go look him up sometime. That's not the end of the story. Look with me quickly this morning. I'm trying to get done, I promise. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried. And here's the third thing. And that He rose, that He rose again the third day according to what? The Scriptures. Jesus was confirming what had already been prophesied. And then people says, well, I just don't know where I can believe that or not. See, that's your problem. Whether you believe it or not, it is so. And whether you believe it or not, it's either to your salvation or to your judgment. Christ died for our sins. He arose. He was buried. And then He arose. Let me give you three things about the resurrection here and I'll be done. He arose again the third day. He rose in victory. They didn't defeat Him. Why, He whooped them all over that place. Oh, the devil thinks, I've got him now. He's in the tomb. The stone's in front of the door. The soldiers are there. I've got him. But hallelujah, 3 days later, there's something took place in that tomb. Hallelujah. They didn't roll the stone out back so He could get out. They rolled the stone back so the rest of them could look in and see that He was gone, that He was alive, that He was well, that He was God. And like Him, there is no other today, my friend. Amen. He arose. I'll give you three things. Number one, we have His word of His resurrection. As we said in John 10:18, He says, I have power to take it up again. He said, I've got the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up. Ain't nobody else can do that. Nobody but Jesus. Not only this morning do I see His word concerning His resurrection, but I find the witnesses of His resurrection. Now, Paul here, as he writes to this church, number one, he talks about Cephas. By the way, that's Peter. Peter saw him. The women saw him. Right? Paul even says, I saw him. Is that not what he says? But then he says something about 500 eyewitnesses. Above 500. Let me get it right. Above 500 witnesses seen Jesus after he come out of the grave. Now, could I ask you a very, very elementary and simple question this morning? Has anybody in here ever seen anybody after they come out of the grave? Not a one. And if you have, you own something stronger than you ought to be on. We have today not only His Word, and hey, that's enough, but then we have the witnesses, and you still won't believe? You still won't get right with God? You still won't confess your sins and receive Christ into your heart? Friend, you're dooming yourself. In a court of law, what does it take? At least two witnesses? If you got two witnesses, most times you got one. But boy, if you got two, you really got something. You got three, man, I'll tell you what, you got an open shut case. But if you got 500 plus, hey, I'd take that to bank all day long. Praise God, I'd go to any court of law, 500 witnesses. Judge probably looked at you and say, won't y'all just get out of here? You're crowding up the courtroom. 500. So we know today of His resurrection. We celebrate because He arose, because of His Word, because of His witnesses. And thirdly today, and I'm done, He arose again the third day by His Word and by the witnesses, and thirdly, by the work of His resurrection. Notice back in verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, if you've truly believed today in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and invited Christ to come into your heart, you know what that brings about in your heart? That brings about a changed life. So we have today, in this resurrection power, we have His Word, we have the witnesses, and we have the work. Can anybody in here today identify with a changed life? Amen. Hallelujah. Why? All because that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again. And Paul goes on in these verses that I didn't all read to you that you could go home and read later today, that if Christ did not arise, that we're still in our sins, our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain. It's all useless. If this is all that there is, then friend, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But I'm glad this is just the beginning for the child of God. Friend, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. But only for those that have a personal relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship today? Preacher, I'm a member of this church. I didn't ask you if you was a member of the church. That's important, but it's not the first step. There's people sitting on church pews that's going to die and go to hell because their name was on a church roll somewhere, but they didn't get right with God. Sitting on a church pew is wonderful, but friend, it won't save you. There's got to be a time in your life where God puts you under conviction, and by faith, you called upon Jesus to come into your heart and your life and save you. Has there been that time in your life? Has there been a time that Christ has arose in your heart and changed your life? If not, today should be your day. As we stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty, you want to get us a song of invitation? Heavenly Father, now Lord, I've tried to do what you've placed upon my heart. And Lord, I've tried to make it just as simple can be. Because Lord, that's the only way I can make it anyway, simple. But Lord, I pray right now in the midst of this service, on this Resurrection Sunday, Lord, the reason why we celebrate, the reason why we gather, the reason why we worship, the reason why we sing, the reason why we preach, is because you died for our sin, that you were buried, and that you rose again. And Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this service, I pray, Holy Ghost of God, you do the work that only you can do. God, you do the convicting. God, you do the drawing. And Lord, I know you'll do the saving for anyone that will call upon you and do it from their whole heart. And Lord, there is no doubt people here today, God, you're speaking to right now. I pray right now, Father, that they would come and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, you do that work that I cannot do. Maybe there's a Christian here that's went wayward. Maybe there's a Christian that's allowed sin, Lord, to come into their life. And Lord, you've already revealed it to them. And Lord, they just need to come and make it right with you. God, I pray right now, you work and you move and you speak. And I pray we'd be obedient. And it's in Jesus' name, as every head's bowed, every eye's closed.